Will you just close your eyes with me for a minute? Again, it's good for somebody at the front to pray before we get into God's word. But I want you to pray. As today is Pentecost Sunday, I want you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and reveal to you what he wants to say. I have the privilege, and I really do count it a privilege, to bring God's word. But you know, I only get you for 20 minutes, 45, depending on how long I preach. Your work is between you and God. Your walk, sorry, is between you and God. How you get up on a Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, how you deal with that problem at work, how you deal with that family situation is about your relationship with God. So let's pray, Holy Spirit, come and help us. Come and empower us. Come and move in our lives. Consume all that needs getting rid of. Consume my life. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be looking at a few scriptures this morning, but I want to start with Acts 2, verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? I want to ask you that question. What does this mean? So today we celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost meaning literally 50 days since Easter, the celebration of the Holy Spirit come down since Easter, also known as Whit Sunday, Whitsuntide, which traditionally was a day when people would go to church in all white and they would be baptized, and it would be a celebration of the purity and the renewal of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Pentecost is a day that we celebrate the Holy Spirit. We remember the Holy Spirit coming down. I was shocked, and I'll be honest, and I'm not going to say any names, of the amount of people I have spoken to and not realized what Pentecost is, or not realized that today was the day that we remember Pentecost Sunday, that the Holy Spirit coming down, that there's some vital parts in the Christian faith. His birth, his death, his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit coming back, coming to be with us, is so vital for our daily lives, to live out our daily lives. I don't know about you, but I can't live each day without the Holy Spirit. Any of you? I need the Holy Spirit's empowering day by day. I had a prayer partner going back years ago, and she had a cushion that said, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." And she said, "I will not get out of bed until I have greeted the Holy Spirit, until I have been able to say, Holy Spirit, I can't do it without you today. I can't face the problems that I know I'm going to get without you being with me." I wonder, is that the kind of cry in your heart each morning when you get up? Holy Spirit, I need your help. So what is Pentecost? What is today the celebration of? Well, it was a promise, as has already been said. It was a promise from Jesus to the disciples that they would receive power from the Holy Spirit after his ascension. And Pentecost was the day when that promise was fulfilled. You know, when Jesus says something, when God says something, his promises are yes and amen. If he says the Holy Spirit's going to come, it's a promise, and it came. Hallelujah. Are we with us today? Yes. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit came. It's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said they will be baptized in the Spirit, not only to the apostles, but also to other believers as well, that they would be the witnesses of Jesus. It's also the birth of the church. It was the beginning of the church, the birth of the church that, again, has already been said. Jesus said, wait here until the Holy Spirit comes. Why did he say that? Do you ever wonder why Jesus says, wait here? Because he says we know we can do a lot of things in our own strength, but we can do so much more when he is with us. Amen? We can do so much more when the Holy Spirit abides in us and gives us the wisdom to speak into situations. Have you ever done that when you're talking to a work colleague and you've been able to say something that you think, whoa, where did that come from? And you realize it's from the Holy Spirit and you're speaking into somebody's life very specifically. The Holy Spirit empowers us. We read in the Old Testament as well, the Tower of Babel, where there was confusion with all the languages. And now Jesus brings in the Holy Spirit to bring unity in the church, to bring the church together. They say we hear them speaking in our own language. It brings unity within the church. One of the things that we were praying for and we thank God for so much is we have the chemistry for everything for an explosive bomb in this church, don't we? The cultural backgrounds, the different backgrounds, the nations that we come from, we have everything in this church to be an explosion. But God is in the middle, and where God is, there is unity. Amen? Where God is, there is unity, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings unity and enables us to be joined together when we don't really understand each other. How many questions have I had with some of our African brothers and sisters, and we just don't understand each other sometimes. But the unity, Christ in our lives, is a thing that draws us together, that allows us to walk down the street together and not hate each other. So many of the people out there absolutely hate each other. Just because of where they've come, just because of dividing lines in their nation. But you come in here, what do you mean they're from Nigeria? What do you mean they're from Zimbabwe? What do you mean they're from Ethiopia? What do you mean they're from Eritrea? Yeah, they're all here. And we're all worshiping God because Jesus is at the center. Amen? Yeah. The Holy Spirit empowers believers. The reason why Jesus said to wait where you are is because he wants to empower us to be his witnesses. You know, we're going through, John's going through this training of going out onto the streets. It's great when we can go out onto the streets and we can talk about our faith. We can talk about what Jesus has done in our lives. We can speak about the gospel. But it's so much better when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Again, you can speak into people's lives, a complete stranger, and you can say things to them that blows their mind. The Holy Spirit will empower us to share our faith. Whenever I speak to people, I have to go in the power of the Spirit, because in my own strength, I know I am not good enough. There are so many more wiser people out there, so many more intellectual people out there that could probably put me in the ground with the intellect of creation and science and all that kind of stuff. But I know what it says in scripture. And I stand on that word. So in Luke 24:49, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. How many of us want to be clothed with power from on high? Hallelujah. We need your power, Lord. We need your power, Lord. So I want to ask you again, what does this mean? But I want to add a little bit more. What does this mean to you? So we read of this story many, many years ago, of when the Holy Spirit comes down and fills the disciples, tongues of fire. But what does this mean to you today? What does it mean to you on a Monday morning or Tuesday morning? What does it mean to you? Was it just a historical event that happened and brilliant, we can read about it? But what does this mean to you today. You see, I've already said that his promises are yes and amen. He says he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you wherever you go, whatever you're doing. So if he says he will never leave you, the Holy Spirit is with us and will always be with us. You go back some 830 years. There's a man in the Old Testament that we read about, and again has been mentioned already, the prophet Joel. And he gives us this passage that he sees will come to pass. In Joel 2:28, it says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Hallelujah. "From Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls." What does this mean to you today? What does this mean? If Joel could have put this down, it's okay, Joel. In about 830 years, we'll see the fruition of that. Can you imagine? We are in such an instant society, aren't we? We cook food in a minute. We download a film on our iPads or our phones within a few minutes. We're in an instant society. But again, I say to you, God's promises are yes and amen. If he said he will do something, he will do it. His time is not our time. Unfortunately, we'd like him to do it now, wouldn't we? We'd like him to sort things out now. And we continue to pray. We continue to bring our loved ones before him. We continue to seek God, seek his face for our nation. But here it says so many things. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men dream dreams, visions, and all these things. We'll see his power at work. I wonder, are you part of this? Are you part of it? Are you seeing these things happen in your life? Is God using you in this way? Because God wants to. God wants to use each and every one of us. I remember having a discussion with somebody who was talking about different gifts of the Spirit and how God can use different people. And yes, God does call some people to be evangelists, some people to be this, that, and the other, and some people with the gift of healing and different things. But if you are in a situation that God asks you to pray for the healing of somebody, and you are not necessarily moving in the gift of healing, God can still use you. Amen? Amen? So please don't put God in a box. God is an awesome God. And if he speaks through you, just go with it. It is amazing when God uses you. The times when I've worked in secular way before coming to full-time ministry, and the times when God has just said something to me, and I'm like, oh, you know, instantly human, aren't you? Oh, I don't know about that. I think that's just me. I'm not sure it's right. Is it me? But sometimes you step out. Yeah, make a fool of yourself. Make a fool of yourself for God. Why not? What's going to happen? Hallelujah. People are healed. People are saved. Because we have the boldness, not in ourselves, but in the scriptures, in the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's get to Acts. Acts 2, verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." You know, I mentioned to Paulette My vision, my thought, my prayer this morning is that there would be an overwhelming sense of unity this morning, that we would pray, that we would seek God, just as the disciples were doing, that they would be together. And it's beautiful. I love to hear. I really struggle with getting my words out when I'm praying. And I love to hear the noise of prayer when some of you are praying. It is just beautiful. Verse 2 says, then suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Some of you welcomed me back from my holiday in Cornwall. Do you know, while we were in Cornwall, there was wind of up to 40 mile an hour gusts, which you think is okay. You're in a concrete structure, a brick structure at home, and that's great. But when you're in a caravan or you're in canvas, it's not always the best. Because the tent's swaying, the poles are going. Lucy and Jake's, maybe I shouldn't say this because they're trying to sell it, but their tent ripped. So if you want a cheap tent, some other friends of ours, their tent, their pole broke. I think it was last year we had bad wind again. I'm not encouraging you to go camping here, are you? Katie and Vinny's tent fell flat. You know, when there's a wind and you're in that kind of structure, you can really, what is going on? But here, the wind is inside. The wind is in the house. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you hear the wind and you hear it coming, and we used to sing a song, we don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it goes. Oh, wow. The wind is inside. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Hallelujah. We read in scripture of the breath of God, the ruach of God. And the breath of God is so evident. The wind is blowing and coming round. So often we read of fire in the Old Testament. Again, we mentioned this on Wednesday as well, that I really felt. You remember the time when Elijah's given the comparison? Well, your God's bigger than my God, and my God's, and they have the argument, and he builds an altar, and he pours water on, and he pours more water on, he pours more water on, and God burns up because the fire is a symbol of God. And here it says that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. How many of us want the fire of God to come and move in our lives, to come burn up all the rubbish, to get as close to God? Here we have the word the dunamis, the fire of God. It's where we get the word dynamite, the fire of God. Lord, let us be on fire for you. Jesus said that you will receive power from on high. If I had a stick of dynamite, you would be paying attention. And you know, I really believe that that's what God is wanting us to think, that we are sticks of dynamite for him. That we can blow up things in a good way. Hallelujah. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together. Hallelujah, I love this. I mean, imagine a crowd coming together. A crowd draws a crowd, doesn't it? We know that. But here, the crowd has formed because something's going off. Something strange is happening. The people outside are seeing something happen in the church, in the house. It was a house church at that time, yeah? Something's happening in the house. Amazed, utterly amazed, they asked, are these men who are speaking, are they not Galilean? Then how is it that each of us, hears them in our native language? Let's jump to, we don't need to do all the places. Jump to verse 11. Why are they filled with the Spirit? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. I think sometimes when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we think it's about me. We think it's about for me. But here, very clearly, it says that they were speaking of the wonders of God. Yeah, wonders that God has done through them, but it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Whenever you lose focus that it's about something else, then we've lost focus, because it's about Jesus and all that he has done. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. And again, back to verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? Some, however, and you're always going to get these people, aren't you? Made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. There's always going to be somebody that will make fun of you. You found that in work? Bless her, Azra's an amazing ambassador for God in the hospital. How, I don't know whether I should say this, how she's not been sacked multiple times because the way she boldly speaks to patients that I hear is amazing. And I'm sure many of you are like this, but we have to be bold in God. Yeah, we're going to be wise as well. Some people will make fun of us, but we know what we're built on. Amen? The solid foundation. So two questions for you. I want to ask you, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? I've had discussions with people as to what this is. The scripture says he says that we are being filled. It's a constant thing. We need to be being filled, keep being filled. So I wonder, what is your desire each morning? Is it looking at the difficulties of the day? Or is it, God, I can't do today without you filling me with your Spirit. Let me become less and you become more. And I wonder, do people hear you declaring the wonders of God? Do people hear you declaring the wonders of God? Very quickly, I want to just jump to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we read of lots of judges and kings who did evil in the sight of God. We read that often, don't we? Did evil in the sight of God. As many of you may know, end in 2019, God spoke to me and told me to read one chapter a day and put it onto YouTube. As you know, I did it on the church channel. I've then moved to my own channel, and I read one chapter of the Bible every day that I post onto YouTube. Get some nice comments, and I'm still doing that even now. I've done the whole of the NIV. I'm now going through the Message Bible, which is a different messages are paraphrase, yeah. modern, I can't remember the word. It's not commentary. Anyway, so I was just really took back by King Asa. Read in 2 Chronicles 14:2. It says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. He built up the 45 cities in Judah. Since the land was at peace, no one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. He said, let us build up these towns, he said to Judah, and put walls around them with towers and gates and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord, our God. We sought him and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Hallelujah. Sometimes we read that backwards. We want prosper before we build. We want prosper before we get rid of the stuff. We want prosper before we do away with the things that are wrong in our lives. Whereas here, King Asa got rid of the stuff, got rid of the false idols, creating gods in their own images. They built and then they prospered. They had peace. Seek the Lord. Can I encourage you to get rid of the stuff in your life? The sacred stones, the sex and religion idols that so torment us. Get rid of them. Secondly, don't fall for a copy or an imitation or second best. As many of you know, I love technology. I love using technology for God's glory. And I don't know if some of you, maybe some of you tech people out there will understand this. I'll try and explain it to you. Google have just released, literally brand new within the last few days, something called VO3. V-E-O-3. It is the state of the art artificial intelligence. You speak to your device and it will create whatever you want. So, example, I want you to create two people walking along the beach, holding hands with the sea and the sunset and the beautiful sound. It will create that video. If you watch that video, you will struggle to see whether it's real or not. AI is that intelligent now. I was going to show you some of those videos because I just think this is so important, but I can't because we are streaming to YouTube and there are now AI engines that even if I played 1 second of a clip, they will know about it. So we are now entering an age where what you see online potentially could be completely fake. At the minute when you subscribe to Amazon, it's thousands, it's not cheap to get this. And you can only have something like a 10-second video at the minute. But the quality is incredible. Soon, designers and film producers are basically saying this will do them out of a job. Actors, it will do them out of a job. So we're now getting to a stage where something made up is going to be portrayed as real. How many of you have seen that already in the world? How many of you have seen so much of that with regards to scripture? How, again, we create a God in our own image. This, my God would never do this. This is my God. Hang on a minute. Is that the God of scripture? Is that the God of the Bible? Or is that a God that you've made up in your own image? We have got to always have scripture as our source of authority. Don't give up. Whatever you're yearning for in God, don't give up. Keep pressing in to God. Like I said earlier, his promises are yes and amen. Those of you who are praying for loved ones, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep seeking God in his word. Keep quoting his scripture back to him. You know the amount of times I've shouted at God? Anybody else? You know, I think he can take it. I think he can take it. God, what is going on with the world? Can I encourage you to continue reading through Acts 2 as we celebrate Pentecost? Peter gives a great sermon, doesn't he? A great sermon. And again, it's about salvation. It's about sharing the good news of all that Jesus has done for us. So don't settle for second best. Seek his kingdom first. And all these things will be given to you as well. Amen. Finally, what will you do? What will you do? As we continue Acts 2:36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Are you asking that question? Brothers, what shall we do? Peter's reply, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all who the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them. He pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Do you see a corrupt generation out there? Do you see a corrupt world? Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Hallelujah. Could I ask the worship team to come and join us? Just, I'm coming into land now. Just parents, we're going to do a couple of songs, so don't go and get your kids yet. We're not finished. When I was chatting to Paul there, I wanted us to really spend time in prayer, seeking God today. And bless Paulette and Nikechi have led us in some incredible prayers, seeking God for our nation, for our loved ones, for individuals, for different situations. I want you to ask yourselves those questions that I've asked. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you settling for a copy or an imitation, the second best? And what will you do about it? What will you do about it? There's so much more in Scripture. I could have spent the whole morning talking about the fire of God and what all that means and the times that we read about the fire of God. But I really wanted you to think about, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for you today? Tomorrow morning, as you wake up, as you face that doctor's appointment, are you going to do it with the Holy Spirit's empowering? What are you going to do when that doctor gives you that diagnosis? Are you going to say, my world's collapsed? Or are you going to say, God, what is your report on this? When that work colleague is always getting at you, will never leave you alone. Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to empower you and to bless them? See, God calls us to be set apart, to be different to the world. Which is why we talk about a corrupt generation. We're not of this world. Oh wait, we're just passing through. But we want to pull as many people with us. Just close your eyes for a minute, please. Scripture speaks of us being filled. being filled with the Spirit of God to empower us to glorify God so that our lives reflect His beauty, so that our lives radiate His majesty. You ever walk out of a building and instantly you feel the heat of the sun burning on your face? Let us be people that carry the glory with us, that affect the people around us for His good and for His glory. Jesus. 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 Have Your way in this place, Lord. Have Your way in this place, Lord. Jesus. 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 Praise You, Lord. Jesus. Fill us with Your Spirit, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit. Jesus, fill us to overflowing, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit, Lord. Have Your way in this place. Have Your way, Lord. Have Your way, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Jesus. This song that we're going to sing, it says, we're waiting here for You. It says, with our hands lifted high, we're waiting here for You. It don't mean that we're waiting here doing nothing. It means that we're waiting, seeking Your face. It means we're allowing You, Holy Spirit, to have Your way in our lives. When Jesus said, stay here until My Comforter comes, He said it for a reason. So can I encourage you, as we start singing through this song, after we've sung this song, I'm going to invite people, if they want to be filled with the Spirit, if they need prayer.